Bibles with me again to
Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Brother Dan read the first 14 verses in your hearing, and now I wish to read beginning with verse 21, a few verses. Exodus 12, beginning with 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take your lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that's in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. You shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. It shall come to pass when you be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? What mean ye by this Passover? Then ye shall say, It's the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshipped. Our Lord said, Your children and others are going to ask you, Now what mean you by this service? And I ask that question tonight as we come to the Lord's table. What do we mean by this service? And the need now is not for intellectualism. It's not for deep and profound preaching. But the need is a simple, direct answer to the question, What mean ye by this service? Well, the story of the Passover is simple. And what they meant by the service is simple. What they meant by the service. God permitted Israel, his chosen people, to go down into Egypt. Jacob led them willingly down into Egypt. About 70 of them. There were about 70 then. A small group of people, 70 people. They went down into Egypt and they prospered. Joseph was still living, and Joseph was second in command in Egypt. These were his people, his brethren, and they were treated quite well, quite honorably. Well, the years passed, and the people multiplied, the people of Israel. And the scripture said a Pharaoh arose who knew not Joseph, and he enslaved the people. There were many thousands of them now. Estimates, they stayed there 400 years. 400 years. That's as long as this, longer than this United States has been a nation. They were in Egypt. They went down there from 70 to how many million, 2 or 3 million, 4 million, just different estimates. And after 400 years in bondage and slavery, treated horribly, God called Moses to deliver his people out of Egypt. He promised them a land. And he called Moses to deliver his people out of Egypt. And God sent plague after plague upon Egypt. You know the different plagues that God brought upon that nation, but Pharaoh would not let the people go. And here in verse 1 of chapter 11, the Lord tells Moses, I'll send one more plague. Now listen to the reading. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh, upon Egypt. And afterwards, I'll bring one more plague. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he will do it willingly. He will do it enthusiastically. He shall surely, literally, thrust you out altogether. Turn to chapter 12, verse 31. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night after the death of the firstborn. And he said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go, rise up and go, and serve the Lord, as you have said. Also take your flocks, everything you've got, every memory of you out of this place, and your herds, as you have said, and be gone. Rise up, go forth, and be gone. And bless me also. Well, there's no problem then knowing what is meant by the Passover. I'm certain that most of Israel saw nothing more in the Passover than this deliverance from Egypt. They were down there in bondage, in slavery. And God said, I'm going to pass through it this night and destroy the firstborn in every home, except where there's blood on the door. You put the blood on the door, and when I see the blood on the door post and the lintel, I pass over you. And he told them to keep this Passover for years when they come to the promised land. And I'm just confident that these Israelites, in their ignorance and blindness, saw nothing more in the Passover, which they sacrificed each year, than the historical, wonderful event of their deliverance out of Egypt, out of the hand of Pharaoh. So they kept it every year. And they told their children this story year after year. Israel's greatest triumph. Israel's greatest victory. Israel's deliverance out of the hand of Egyptians by God's power. His deliverance bringing them into their own land. And they kept this all these years. And that's the story they told their children. But now in Luke chapter 22, turn to Luke 22. 2,000 years later, 2,000 celebrations, 2,000 lambs slain, 2,000 Passovers, 2,000 telling of this story of Israel's greatest triumph and deliverance from Egypt. Our Lord, you know, was of the household of David and Israel. And he was born a Jew, and he kept the Passover. He went to the temple, he kept the Passover, he did all of these things that were required of the Jewish people. Now, before he goes to the cross, in Luke 22, verse 7, it came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. I doubt that the disciples saw the true meaning of the Passover. They didn't see Christ the lamb slain. When he talks about going to the cross, Peter tried to talk him out of it. They thought about him setting up a kingdom and Israel being victorious again over their enemies. Deliverance from Rome now. Into a glorious kingdom with the Lord Jesus sitting on a throne in Jerusalem. That's their imagination. And they didn't see the meaning, but he's going to show it to them.
All right, let's go ahead and read. He said, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. Verse 9. And they said unto him, now where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said to them, behold, when you entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And you shall say to the goodman of the house, the master saith unto thee, where's the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he'll show you a large upper room. There, make ready. And they went and found, as he had said to them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him, and he said to them, now they hadn't done this before at the Passover. He'd never broken the bread and poured the wine and said what he's going to say here. But he's about to go to the cross. This is the last Passover for spiritual Israel. This is the fulfillment of the Passover. This is the true meaning of the Passover. He said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks, and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it, saying, gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. No more lamb slain. No more blood on the door, on the altars. No more of that. This is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, the cup after supper. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 5, 1 Corinthians 5, you're familiar with this scripture, 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. In other words, the true meaning of the Passover, the true picture which the Passover presents, is not Israel's great victory over the Egyptians. It's not Israel's physical deliverance from the land of Egypt over to the Promised Land. It's a picture, the Passover is, of the Lamb of God dying, of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of true Israel. The Passover, which Israel observed, is a prophecy in the Old Testament fulfilled by Christ, his perfect life and his death. The Passover is the promise of redemption by Christ Jesus our Lord, a picture, a type, a prophecy, a promise of the coming Lamb of God who would shed his blood for our sins. And Israel is a type of the church in sin. Now let me show you this. Three things I want you to see. How we're related to this picture, how we're related to these people. We're born in sin, like they were born in Egypt. When God was pleased to deliver them 400 years, think about this. Now, when Jacob took them down into Egypt willingly, as Adam took us into sin willingly, and Jacob took them down into Egypt, God permitted it. As Adam took us into sin, God permitted it. We were his people before we fell. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. But Jacob took them down into Egypt. He did it willingly. He did it looking for something to eat. He did it looking for prosperity. He did it looking for a better life. There was a famine out there where he was. Well, Adam led us into sin. Now, everybody down there in Egypt now was born in Egypt.
Nobody left who came from where Jacob lived over there. They were all born in Egypt, born in bondage. They were born in bondage. They were born in slavery. And that's where we are. Every one of us are born in sin. That's David said, in sin my mother conceived me. I brought forth from the womb speaking lies. The wicked go astray from the womb speaking lies. So they were born in Egypt. That was where they were born. Their culture and everything. And you and I are born in sin. Now, sin is a nature more than an act. Sin is an act. I know that. You know that. But sin is a nature. We're born with it. We're born in bondage. We're born in darkness. We're born in slavery. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We sin because we're sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. We're born sinners. A leopard is not a leopard because he has spots. You could take a tiger and paint spots on him, but he wouldn't be a leopard. A leper is not a leopard because he has spots. He has spots because he's a leper. A man is a black man, not because he's black. He's born that way. That's his nature. And the leopard can't change his spots. He can't change his nature. He can't do anything but a leopard. And the black man, the Ethiopian, that's what, I'm not being biased, I'm quoting scripture. The Ethiopian cannot change his skin. And a man is not a thief because he steals. He steals because he's a thief. He's born a thief. He's born in Egypt. Born in sin. He steals because he's a thief. When a man takes another person's life, he doesn't become a murderer. He was a murderer before he took that man's life. That's what made him do it. So that's where we are. You understand that? That's a picture. Israel is in Egypt. And all of them were born there. All right, second thing. They had no way out. You talk about without hope, without help, without strength, without power. They had no way out of Egypt. Their enemies, their captors, were too powerful, too strong. Israel was hopelessly, helplessly weak. Israel was held captive by the most powerful nation in the world. They had no weapons of strength to deliver themselves. We, born in this dark kingdom, in this world of Egypt, in this sinful state, we have no power to change our state. Paul said in Ephesians, we're without help. We're without hope. We're without God. We're without Christ in this world. The disciples said, well, who can be saved? Our Lord said, with me and it is impossible. We're held captive by the holy law of God, who has us under a judgment and a curse. We're held captive by the justice and judgment of Almighty God, which says the soul that sinneth it shall surely die. There's no way out. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Nope. Can the leopard change his spots? Nope. Can you do good that are born in sin? Nope. That's right. Well, why don't we resolve never to sin again? Let's just decide we're going to change our status and state and nature. We're not going to sin anymore. Paul said that won't work. When I tried to do good, evil was present. I found then a law warring in my members, bringing me back into captivity. I'm going straight. No, you're not. My nature pulls me right back. I'm going free. No, you're not. I'm going to change my ways. No, you're not. He's bringing me back. Well, why don't we resolve to start keeping the law? Don't you hear the law? James says to sin in one part is to be guilty of all the law. Why don't we bring this situation to God like Abraham did? read it sometime. I'm not going to take the time, Genesis 18, but the angel of the Lord said to Abraham, God's going to destroy Sodom. He's going to destroy Sodom. And Abraham went to prayer. He said, Lord, shall not the judge of the earth do right? Is it right to punish the righteous with the wicked? Is that right, God? Is that right, Lord, to punish the righteous with the wicked? The Lord said, Abraham, if you can find 50 righteous men in Sodom, I won't destroy them. Abraham said, well, Lord, he didn't know whether he could find 50. He said, Lord, he said, about with the five, take five from there and make 45. I'll find 45. Abraham, if you can find 45, I won't destroy the city. And he got thinking about 45 righteous men in Sodom. He said, well, Lord, if I find 40, have you read this? I know you have. Yes, I'll spare the city for 40. How about 30? All right. This is a beautiful conversation. Abraham was humble too. He said, Lord, don't be angry with me, but 20, I'll spare it for 20. 10. Down over there, I mean, Genesis 20, Genesis 18. 20, he got to 20, and then he got down to 10. Verse 32 of Genesis 18. Oh, he said, let not the Lord be angry, I speak yet but once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. He said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way. And as soon as he had finished, he left communing with Abraham. Abraham returned unto his place, because he knew that why didn't he use going down to Sodom? He couldn't find 10 men. And our Lord looked down from heaven upon us. And he said, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Not one. Not one. Not one. There's none that doeth good. There's none righteous. No, not one. And God will by no means clear the guilty. All right. They were born in Egypt. It passed hope. No hope. We'll stay in Egypt. And if they're free, here's the third thing I want you to think about. If they're freed from Egypt, it will have to be because the Egyptians are willing to let them go. Yeah, and take. You see, Moses laid this down to Pharaoh. He said, Pharaoh, he started telling him, said, well, go and leave your children here. Moses said, no, children go with us. Somebody, another time, he said, go and leave your cattle here, because he knew if they left the children there, they'd be back. If they left the cattle there, they'd be back when they got hungry. He kept proposing ways, but finally he said, you leave and take everything you own with you. He did it willingly. He wanted them out of there. He said, rise up, he said. Rise up, go forward, get out of here, leave us, take everything with you, willingly. All right. If you and I get out from under the law's curse, the law is going to have to willingly let us go. The law is going to have to escort you to the door and say, get out and take everything you got with you. God's justice. That's, we're prisoners. They were prisoners of the Egyptians, and the Egyptians must be willing to let them go, must thrust them out. We're prisoners, not of the Egyptians, but of God's law. Cursed is everyone that continues not in everything written in the book of the law to do it. The prisoners of justice, the justice of God says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's where this lamb comes in. Go back to Exodus 12. Exodus 12, God says, in Exodus 11, let's look at Exodus 11, 4. Moses said, thus saith the Lord, at midnight I'll go through the land of Egypt And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh sitteth on the throne, even to the firstborn of the maidservant that's behind the barn, the mill, and the firstborn of the beast. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as none like it, nor be shall be like it anymore. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, man or beast, that you may know the Lord put a difference between Egypt, Egyptians, and Israel. Now take your lamb, look at chapter 12, verse 4. Take a lamb without blemish or spot. Our lamb is Christ. Without sin, our perfect lamb. Verse 4, the household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next door, according to the house, take it according to the number of souls, and every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb be without blemish, perfect, a male of the first year in the prime of life, take it from among the sheep or the goats. Keep it up, verse 6, it'll be tried. Our Lord Jesus was tried and tested, found no fault in him, no sin in him, until the 14th day of the same month, and then the whole congregation of the children of Israel shall kill it. Kill the lamb. Shed the blood. And I shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper post of their houses wherein you shall eat it. And he said, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast it with fire. Our Lord Jesus suffered under the judgment of God for our sins. Unleavened bread, no leavened bread. Bitter herbs shall he eat it in repentance over sin. Don't eat it raw. He's got to suffer. It can't be Christ the babe, or Christ the teacher, or Christ the moral example. It's got to be Christ crucified. Eat it not raw. Don't mix it with water or gravy or anything else. It's Christ alone, nothing mixed. But roast with fire his head with his legs and the pertness thereof, and let nothing of it remain till the morning. All of Christ, Christ, prophet, priest, and king. All of Christ, not part of Christ, not some of Christ. All Christ is all, and all is in Christ. Eat it all. And you, verse 11, you eat it with your bags packed and your clothes on your back, your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You're leaving that place. You're leaving that. You're leaving in haste. Eat it in haste because you're leaving. You're leaving. Put on your traveling clothes. You're about to be crazy. Egypt's had all they want of you. They're going to set you free. And the law is satisfied. The holy law of God is satisfied in the suffering, blood, obedience, and righteousness of my Lord. And the law, like Pharaoh, is going to take me to the gate and say, get out. You're free. And the justice of God is going to say, rise up, go forth from among us, get out of prison. Get out of bondage, out of slavery. You don't belong here anymore. I heard a fellow one time. He was trying to show how that Christ died for everybody, the whole world, indiscriminately. And he said, now this is what it's like, Brother Mahan. All of us in prison. Are you right about that? All of us are in bondage and slavery to sin. To the law of God, to justice. That's right. I believe you tell the truth. Christ came and paid everybody's fine. Paid everybody's debt. Suffered in the place of everybody. And the Holy Spirit comes to the door of the prison. Says, now your sentence is fulfilled and your debt paid and your fines paid and everything paid. If you want to, you can come out. And he says, everybody saved wants to come out, and the rest of them stay in. I said, what ain't wrong with that? He said, what is it? I said, they can't stay in there. The jailer's got to come down and say, I'm leave there. He's not rooming and boarding folks free. He said, "Law can't keep you when you're dead. Pay the law. They don't run a motel down there to jail. They got people there, old fines and sentences. But everybody whose fines paid and sentences finished, they give him a new suit and extra pair of socks and take him out through the door and say, 'Ski Donald.' Like Pharaoh said, 'Rise up, go forth and get out of here. You don't belong here anymore.'" And that's what the law does because of this. Because of this. The Lamb of God has died, opening the door to heaven wide and opening the door of the prison wide. All who believe are justified freely from every sin. The law says no more curse. Justice says, "Deliver him. I've found the ransom. He can't stay here anymore." And now our Lord gives the disciples a Passover. And this, no more Passover to be observed. He gives them the Lord's table. And the exodus from Egypt is, what story do we tell? About Egypt's deliverance? No. About the great victory of Israel? No. We talk about the deliverance of true Israel by the great victory of Christ. Christ met the law and met justice and met Satan and conquered it all and set us. He said, "God sent me to preach the gospel to the poor, deliverance to the captives, to set at liberty them that are bound, and preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And so, I've got a good title for that message. Pharaoh said to Moses right here, he called him that night. I mean, right now. Pharaoh rose up, verse 30, in the night, he and all his servants, and he called for Moses and says, "Rise up, and you go forth and be gone just as soon as you can with everything you've got." Isn't that good news? And that's what we're remembering here. That's what I tell our children and all who ask that question, "What mean ye by this service?" Deliverance from sin, from the law, from this bondage, and from death, and from judgment, and from all under which we were held.